But as I move on today's message, we're going to be looking at another topic, the topic of fasting. Before I get to that, though, I would like to look back at a verse that's critical for the context of this passage that we're looking at today. And we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1. So Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So far in chapter 6, Jesus has pointed out three acts of righteousness: generosity and prayer, and now we're looking at fasting. There are areas that Jesus has decided, these are areas that Jesus has decided to point out specifically, because there's other acts of righteousness. There are others, but these are three that Jesus points out what appears to be temptations for self-exaltation, motives to gain praises for looking righteous. Though it seems as though Jesus is condemning acts of righteousness from being seen, that's not really the real issue. The real issue is, why are you doing it? Are you doing them just to be seen, or are you doing them because you follow Christ? And so that's what we've been looking at a number of times. Jesus is condemning the putting on a show. And the ones that want to look righteous, the ones that want to look godly in the eyes of others but are not, because it's an act, it's not done from the heart. That's the part that Jesus is really addressing. So let's look at our passage for today. Jump ahead to verse 16 of chapter 6. Verse 16 of chapter 6. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That very first verse there, in verse 16, when you fast. This is kind of like the previous two acts of righteousness that we've looked at and that Jesus has spoke on. When you give, when you pray, and now today, when you fast. I think there's a big difference between the word when and the word if. It does not say if you fast. It says when you fast. But I think for many, and this includes me, you know, when I used to read through this, I would read when, but my brain would translate when to if. So when I would read through this, I would read through as if I was reading, if I fast, this is how I should do it. But it's interesting that the words that Jesus is using, you know, what is this verse inferring? What are we seeing with Jesus when he says, when you fast? Is this an expectation for us? Is this something that Jesus has an expectation for those who follow him? You see, we are kingdom citizens when we follow Jesus. And like giving to the needy and spending time in prayer with the Lord, and now today we're seeing there's an expectation of fasting. So maybe I should explain, well, what is fasting anyways? In Scripture, we see three examples of fasting. One is simply abstaining from food. Another example is abstaining from both food and liquids, drinks, So both food and liquids. And then the third example we see is abstaining from delicacies and meats, often called a Daniel fast. Fasting is usually done for a limited period of time. There are examples in Scripture of a few 40-day fasts by Moses and Elijah and Jesus. The Daniel fast was more of a longer term. That was more of a dietary change that Daniel and those that were with him in the palace, it was, again, a longer term, but it was a dietary change too. So in the Old Testament, fasting is how Israel responded when God's glory was dishonored, when God's people sought forgiveness, both personally and corporately as a nation. They would fast when God's people suffered defeat, or when one of God's people experienced sickness, tragedy, or death. And fasting was also used in seeking and understanding God's will. We see a kind of a wide range here of when fasting was done and for the purpose that it was done for. Yet moving forward in time from the Old Testament to the time of Jesus, fasting had become a biweekly act of piety for many observant Jews. So many of these Jews that were ultra religious, they would fast two times a week, usually on a Monday and a Thursday. That was just common acts of religiousness, or again, piety. In the Old Testament, though, we see that there was only one day a year that the Israelites were required to fast, and that was on the Day of Atonement, the day that the high priest offered a sacrifice for the sins of Israel. It's interesting how in Jesus' day, traditions became the rule. In fact, Jesus himself was challenged on why his followers were not fasting the traditional 2 days a week. He was not only challenged in the fasting, but he was challenged in who he was eating with too. And I'm going to read that out of Mark chapter 2, 15 through 20. So Mark 2, 15 through 20. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In verse 18, now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. So we see that John the Baptist and his followers, they were all fasting. And the Pharisees were fasting. And some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast when he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast." It's interesting, this passage helps us to see, first of all, that there were traditions of fasting. And even though it was not required in Old Testament Scripture, the tradition became the requirement. If one did not fast, and I'm going to kind of read in between the lines here, that as they're asking Jesus about not fasting, I would have to say, because they were not following the traditions, they were probably judged as not being godly or not being religious enough. And I think this should be an indicator for us that we need to be careful. You know, are there traditions that we hold to that are not necessarily in Scripture, but we're going to judge someone's religiousness based on traditions? Maybe we just judge them. Well, they can't be a Christian because they're not doing this or this and this. This is what almost all Christians have to do. And I think we need to be careful that there are a lot of traditions that, okay, some of them are good. They are. They're good to do. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we're not moving those traditions into requirements of God. Anyways, what I love is that fasting, the intent behind fasting is to bring us closer to the Lord, to prioritize the Lord above all things, even physical appetites for food. But Jesus' disciples, they were with him here. They were with him in person, and they were enjoying his presence. And he was there, and that is what we hope happens, you know, to us when we fast, that there's a drawing closer, that there's maybe a deeper presence of him with us, that we hear from him, that maybe we receive an answer to a prayer. Maybe the guidance we're looking for, we receive that. Not that fasting is forcing God or the Lord to do anything, but it's helping us to focus ourselves in this busy and distracting life. It's taking time, exercising our will and putting Christ above all things, even food. Now, I like food. I mean, it's obvious I like food. But it's prioritizing that, you know, in this time, Christ is more important than even food. And in this passage here, Jesus then tells us that after he returns to the Father, the disciples will again practice fasting. Probably not in the traditional Mondays and Thursdays that the tradition had set up, but they will again fast. You see, Jesus isn't doing away with it because fasting is good for the soul. It's good for the spirit. It's a discipline like giving to those who are in need, being generous, and the discipline of prayer. It is something that we don't have to be commanded to do because we're wanting to grow closer to the Lord. And these are just avenues in which they help us accomplish that. Well, just a couple of questions to think about. Do you fast? Will you fast? The attitude and the motive in your heart for doing it is important, as our passage in the Sermon on the Mount points out. I'd like to go back to verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. Tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. Don't look somber. Don't disfigure your faces. Again, we see Jesus calling these people that are doing that hypocrites. And if the goal of fasting is to draw closer to the Lord or to hear from Him or to receive an answer from prayer, any of the number of things that we've looked at, then a hypocrite would be the one who is fasting for an entirely different reason, not to draw closer to the Lord. And I think this is the third Sunday I've explained that a hypocrite was like a play actor who was wearing a costume and a mask and who would eventually remove the costume and mask and stop the act. Such a person would be fasting not to draw closer to the Lord, but to play a part of a righteous or a religious person. They want others to notice just how great they are at playing the part. If that's their intent, then anyone around them is going to know that they're fasting, right? It's a play act. I have to get into my role here. Oh. Oops, forgot to mess up my hair. Yeah. How are you guys this morning? Yeah. Is anyone going to ask me how I'm doing? How am I doing? Oh, I'm glad somebody asked. Oh, I can't even stand. Oh, you know what? My foot hurts, but I have not eaten in hours. Oh, my. My, oh, my, oh, my. I hope the Lord realizes exactly what I'm doing, the sacrifice I'm making. I mean, I haven't eaten breakfast today. And then second breakfast came and went. 11's is almost over. I have not eaten. I am famished. I am so hungry. I am so hungry. I hope God realizes the tremendous sacrifice I am making for Him. Oh, you're not fasting today? Wow. Wow. Huh. I guess maybe if I didn't love the Lord as much as I did, I probably wouldn't. I would be eating too. Yeah? Yeah. Wow. Wow. It's going to be a rough one, but I'll make it. A few minutes left, and then I'm done. Well, did you see what I did there? Okay, not only did I let everybody know I'm playing the part, but I'm also making others feel maybe a little like shame. Because I have to point out how righteous I am. But that was the motive of Pharisees. Not only do I want everyone to know what I'm doing, so they can just go, wow, he's pretty religious over there. But then I have to make myself a step above, and so I have to look down on others. Because maybe God hasn't called them to fast at that moment. So Jesus he's really hitting on this. Because what is my motive for fasting by doing that? My motive is to be noticed. My motive is that not only are people going to notice, but they're going to think higher of me. And that's Jesus is really pointing out in this section of Scripture that it's not about attention from others. It's not about getting praise from others. If we're fasting, then the intent is to draw closer to the Lord, not to make a show. You know, in a time of fasting, we should look no different than we normally do. We should take time away to spend time with the Lord in prayer and reading His Word. And there's a passage in Isaiah that it's a bit long, but it shows when people have selfish hearts, those who are proud, even though they might do something that looks religious, their actions are often going to reflect, you know, what's in their heart. And so I'm going to read Isaiah 58, 2 through 7. Isaiah 58, 2 through 7. I'm just reading out of the New Living Translation, just a little easier to understand. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is that what you call fasting? Do you really think that will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. The pious, they came to look the part of being religious, but their hearts were far from Him. As you can see, what Isaiah is pointing out, all these things that are important to the Lord, when they're failing to really show the love of God, that fasting, it's just like a noisy gong. The Lord's not impressed. God isn't after our actions and our motions. He is after your heart, which will affect your actions and motions in the right way. Fasting is to draw closer to the Lord, and when done with a right heart, we will often find areas that need to change in our lives, things that we can work on in order to follow Christ's example. But don't look somber. Don't disfigure your face that people notice you. As we read on in verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is instructing everyone who fasts, make it private. After all, this is between you and God. If the reason for fasting is to have a closer experience with God, then keep it between you and Him. Putting oil on your head and wash your face is another way of saying, do what you normally do so you look the same as any other day. Take care of yourself. Don't stand out because you're fasting. But are there times that we probably should share that we're fasting? I guess I'll get to that in a moment. But there will be times that people will notice that you're fasting. And you know what? It really isn't the issue if your heart is right. There are times that churches or groups, they organize a corporate fast. That's okay. The nation of Israel would fast at different times. They would fast together. Again, what is the motivation when you do fast? Even if someone knows that you're fasting, you don't need to project it out to let everybody else know by the way you look. I would say, if you are married, there might be times that you want to share with your spouse that you're planning to fast or that you are fasting. Not so much to gain their approval, but to keep from having misunderstandings. And here would be a perfect example. If I'm fasting and Juanita doesn't know it, and so she cooks several hours to make a nice meal for me and our family, and I walk in, I look at this beautiful table laid out, and I just go, oh, no thanks. You know, I might be voluntarily fasting that night, but for the next week, it'll probably be involuntarily fasting. So, we have to be careful when we look at this. Jesus isn't saying, hey, go to every extreme to make sure nobody knows. There are times it's just helpful to speak with a spouse. Sometimes there's other times where you're asking, hey, there's this thing going on in this area, and I would just like you know, leave it open if you'd like to fast with me, and we can have a number of people fast about this issue. That's okay too. But the motivation is different. What's behind, you know, if you do tell someone, what's behind? Is it to keep from misunderstandings happening? Is it to hopefully gain a little more insight and drawing closer to God as a group or as a church. But if it's to gain attention and praise and approval, that's the problem. Fasting should be a time for you to draw near to God, and that is the core of fasting. Not looking apart, but living a disciplined life and connecting with God. Are there some people that should not fast? I believe that there are some that should use caution. Certain health restrictions like diabetes or other disorders, if not careful, could be harmful. I also think there are some, you know, for those that have struggled with anorexia or bulimia, you know, care needs to be taken so that one does not fall back into a destructive dietary pattern. But maybe in those cases, a Daniel fast might be a better option, where just certain foods are abstained from and not food entirely. But I wanted to share a little bit of my own experience. I have not done a Daniel fast, but my own experience is I've participated in abstaining from food. I don't do the food and liquids. That one, I would say, if you do choose that one, it should be a very limited amount of time. But the examples we see in Scripture of those, God had to intervene because our bodies can't go without some of those for very long. But just abstaining from food, I have had, you know, the times I've done fasting, my goal is drawing closer to the Lord. Or other times it's been attempting to hear the voice of God when I seek direction, or seeking reassurance for Him, or just praying on behalf of others. There have been many half-day fasts. There have been multi-day fasts. There really isn't a formula, because this is something that's between you and the Lord. It isn't something that I have to do it this way. I have to have this time frame. And this is between you and your Father in heaven. I share this with you not to gain recognition, but to help you know that this should be a part of your time with the Lord. It is very personal and very much worth exploring if you've not tried it. You don't have to start with an extremely long fast. Do a half a day. Maybe do a sun up to sun down. Maybe try 24 hours. Just begin and see where the Lord takes you in that. And I'm trying to challenge you to try something if you haven't. To keep in mind, you know, also the reason for doing the fast, and that's focusing on and connecting with the Lord. In recent years, there's been a trend with a different fast, and some might be wondering, can I fast from electronics, or fast from social media, or other things like that? Obviously, this isn't something that was in the time of Jesus. But for some people, not going on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for a week, that might be a tough experience. For others, shutting off and leaving the cell phone on a dresser or something like that may seem crazy. For doing that for a week, or giving up television for some, would be really difficult. And I know this is getting more and more prevalent as an acceptable fast, then call it what you want. But setting those things aside to make more time for God is always, always a great and healthy move. We're talking about prioritizing God and deepening our relationship with Him. And if there are electronics or social media or things that are distracting you, by all means, go for it. Call it a fast, call it what you want. But prioritizing time with God is always good. But I would still encourage, I would still challenge you to fast by abstaining from food. It is a bold and difficult practice, and I know that for many people they will never try it. But yet it is good for the soul. It's good for the spirit. Take the step and see where the Lord will take you. It's not just a good idea, it's Scripture. Now that last portion, I'm almost done here. That last portion, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Imagine having that closer time with the Lord. Imagine setting aside something you feel important like food and placing God above it and seeing your relationship with Him grow. Reward may be a heavenly reward, but most definitely the reward right now is being closer and more in tune with our Father in heaven. As you fast, spend time in prayer, spend time in God's Word, spend time thanking Him and praising Him. And oh, when your stomach growls, that's just a little timer saying, hey, it's time to pray.